You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
I enjoy Christmas Eve probably as much as anything, because Christmas Eve really kind of sets in motion these next 48 hours plus that our families just going to be together. And outside of a crisis in our larger family, we're just going to hang out together and be together until one of us offends someone and then get mad and we go home. But it is a wonder. I love it. I absolutely love it. It used to be, you know, when you're younger, about what you receive. As you get older, it's about what you give. And, you know, Liz and I, we're kind of like, well, we got this. That was Christmas this year, and that was Christmas this year. And so we determined, and she kept trying to buy me something, and I'd try to buy her something. She's like, no, and I'd say no. And so we literally didn't, unless you lied to me, we didn't buy each other anything. So yesterday I said, well, let's go get each other a card. So we went to get each other a card, and I picked out a card for her to give to me. And then she made me leave, but I think I know what it is, because, well, she's left it on the counter for the last several hours. But, you know, we'll exchange cards, and we'll talk about some of the things that we've purchased this year and some of the things we want to get for the house or something like that. But it's going to be about watching our kids. We've already given our kids their gifts, and, you know, Matt and Paige and Luke and Michelle, and they already have set it up and excited. And it's going to be about Freddie this year and watching him tear in. Paw Patrol, and it's going to be an incredible time. I love the lights. I love sitting at home and with the lights dim, but the Christmas tree and Liz creates an incredible atmosphere, and it's just, there's just something special about all of it. I was thinking of my dad, since I had my knee replaced a couple weeks ago, and I'm coming along. They say I'm ahead of schedule, but it's a very frustrating surgery for me because I'm not able to do some things yet that I really want to do, and then I don't know if it's anesthesia, I don't know if it's what, but it affects my sleep, and so I don't do a lot of sleeping these days. Couple hours, and then up for 3 or 4, and then a couple hours. And I was in my 3 or 4 hours watching MMA last night, but I was thinking about my dad, and I thought, man, my dad preached 58 Christmas messages in his life. What I wouldn't give to have a copy of those. There's just so many things about Christmas. Christmas is about this moment. Looking across and seeing families and seeing us gather, and the fact that you would come on a Christmas Eve as a family to come together and say Jesus is still the centerpiece. He's still the reason. He's still Lord. And I want to honor him above all. I love Christ's Mass. And the times that we share together. I've been rambling. Liz, anything come to mind? You think?
You said it so well. I hate to cap on that. Before church, Fred threw out to me, what do you love about Christmas? And so I had a little time to think about it, and I was a lot of the same things you said, and I'm sentimental when it comes to Christmas time. I don't know. I can tear up to the most random Christmas song. It just brings back, you know, memories. And And I love Christmas music. That's probably my biggie. Obviously, we do Chinese food every
Christmas Eve.
That's a big, just kind of a fun family tradition that we have.
And when we used to live in a city, we always got, I think I've told you this, we always got P.F. Chang's. But the reason we did is because I determined P.F. Chang's stood for Pastor Fred's Chang's. Now we do China King.
Yeah.
Or China Star. Anyway, it's across the street.
I woke up this morning and went, are they open on Sunday? I hope they are.
We call every year to make sure they're open.
Yeah.
They'll be open.
So you know, I thought of those things, but then we were driving to church today, and we're driving across the bridge, and I was praying for our service, and I was just like, Lord, I think the thing that just comes to mind at Christmas for me is a new appreciation and realization of the fact that Jesus became human.
Yeah.
I was just like, Lord, of all of the places in the universe, you chose this place. And you decided to become human and live a life that you could relate and we could relate to you. And, you know, as a believer, I'm visualizing when I was talking to the Lord, you know, I know that his presence is everywhere, but I also know that he has a dwelling place. I envision him in heaven. So I just have such an awareness and a renewed gratitude for the fact that he was a person. He is God, but he was a person. And because he was a person, he gets it.
Yeah.
You know, he just gets it. And there's nothing that you can't come to him with or talk to him about that he doesn't get. He doesn't understand, because he's not something other. We are his and he is ours. So I just appreciate his humanity at Christmas time.
We'll read the Christmas story together as a family at some juncture when we get together as our family here. I've asked Liz if she'd read the Christmas story, and then I'll make a few thoughts and we'll have communion together from Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 20. I'm going to move this over. The words will be on the screen. You can watch the screens. If you're not looking at a screen, I've always said, if you'll just look at me, it'll help you concentrate. It's a long passage. Liz is she's really pretty, and I thought it'd be easier to look at her for a long passage than me. So I'll get in trouble for that when we get home. So go right ahead, Liz, and read the story.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom his favor," or with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Amen. Thank you, baby. The miracle of Christmas. Last week, we talked a little bit about miracles. In fact, I don't say this often, but if you were not here last Sunday, I would encourage you to listen to the message. I felt like the Lord allowed this whole theme and thought of the miraculous of God at Christmas to come alive to us. And so I'm picking up off that theme just a little bit, if you will, except this morning we're talking about the miracle of Christmas. Last week we called it the miracle Christmas. But the miracle of Christmas, think with me first of all about this, the miracle of faith. The Christmas story is a faith story. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind that a virgin would conceive. It's not possible. How in the world? It was miraculous in absolutely every way. We go back, if you'll go back with me, Luke 1:30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then what did we discover? In Luke 1 and verse 37, don't be afraid, you found favor. Don't be afraid. Fear is the enemy of faith. And then he gives us this foundational word, for nothing will be impossible with God. I have thought of that every day. I posted it last night. I thought about just posting it every day. The miracle of faith to believe that nothing is impossible with God, that he literally does exceed and abundant of all that we could ever ask or think. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Don't fear. To the shepherds in the passage that was read, fear not. Fear not. That Christmas is a time for faith to rise up. I think most of us know there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the week. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what anxiety you may be struggling with. What fear? Well, I tell you, the last couple of weeks, it's been a battle in my mind. And you take someone that's an active person and you bridle them back and you can't move and you can't bend and you can't do the things, and the thoughts begin to come, what if I can't do that? What if it never comes back? I had the same thing happen when I had my hip replaced. It's, will I ever be able to reach down and pick up my golf ball again? I can, praise God. Well, there's thoughts that come to my mind about this knee, and it sounds silly, but it has been overwhelming. The waves that come against, and I think part of that is why God gave me that word last week, for with God nothing will be impossible. You're okay, boy. You're okay. You're going to make it through this. May seem a little difficult, but you're going to get through it. Christmas is a time to take hold of God and say, God, I'm not giving up. I'm going to get through it. I can do all things through Christ. Somebody say amen. It's a time of faith. If you'll allow me just to regress for a moment, to go back. Maybe this is a theme for this year. Maybe it's a theme for the whole year. Maybe it's something we revisit at Christmas time, but I had never seen in Scripture before where when the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Mary, don't fear, you found favor. And even your cousin Elizabeth, who's too old to have a baby, is 6 months pregnant, and with God, nothing shall be impossible." Let me just remind us that when Gabriel declared that, you know, Mary's question was, how can this be? Mary, this is happening, and with God, nothing will be impossible. It wasn't the first time Mary heard it. She was a good Jewish girl. She knew the scriptures all the way back to Genesis 18, when there was an old guy by the name of Abraham, too old to have a baby. And his wife's 89, he's 99. I'm telling you, people that age having babies, it's not natural. It's not natural. That's National Enquirer and Globe type material right there. Sarah laughed. And God said, it's going to happen, for with God, all things are possible. There was a proverb through the Old Testament that the Jewish people understood. And it was a phrase, just like we talked about, like, grandpa can do anything, dad can do anything. It was a phrase that with God, all things are possible. Here's what I want to say. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your husband coming to know the Lord, your wife coming to know the Lord, your kids coming back to the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up being generous and giving and recognizing that's the foundation for God to be able to bless you and pour out abundantly. Don't give up. Who knows what God might want to do? Because with God, all things are, amen. Christmas, it's the miracle. It's the miracle of faith. The miracle of impossible becoming possible. I wanted to hit that. I can't get away from that. We read through the story. Miracle of faith. Don't allow fear to permeate your mind. Fear and faith cannot operate together. You can't have faith with fear. And when fear is overriding, you can't have faith. Faith rises up to squelch fear. Faith rises up with a voice of praise that silences the avenger in our life. The miracle of Christmas. It's the miracle of faith. It's the miracle of a Savior. That's been a theme for us the last several years. That we needed a Savior. That could only happen by a virgin birth. That Joseph wasn't Jesus' biological father. Mary was biological mother. But the angel of God said that the Holy Spirit and God would overshadow, and that you would give birth, the virgin would give birth. And Jesus was 100% God. He is 100% man. Preacher, you really believe in the virgin birth? Yeah, absolutely. Because with God, all things are possible. And without it, we don't have a snowball's chance of being saved. Because if a man is Jesus' father, then Jesus is simply a man. And by one man, sin entered into this world. We can't be saved by natural means, so it had to be the God-man, the miracle of a Savior. It comes about by the virgin birth, the incarnation, that God became man. Do you believe it, preacher? Yes, because with God, say it with me, all things are possible. Sure. And then in this passage, the angel declares, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Unto you is born, not a baby. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, but unto you is born a Savior. 700 years before, Isaiah prophesied and talked of all who Christ would be. And at some juncture, we'll look at that passage of Scripture. It's interesting, right here in Luke, just simply responds, a Savior. The city of David, a Savior is born. Who is Christ the Lord? More than anything else in this world, we need a Savior. And I'm sure that some of you, you've got it. I say it over and over. Because in America, our biggest struggle in the American church is that we think somehow our good works are what matters. And it's not. It is grace. It is grace. I have people all the time. I'm working to. You know what? I strive. I work to become more like him. Yes. But I understand it all comes out of what? His grace. For by grace you are saved. It is the gift. You talk about a Christmas gift. It is the gift of God. So, again, it's not that I'm Baptist or Lutheran or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Methodist. It's not whether I'm Catholic or Jewish, a Muslim or a Buddhist. Do I know Jesus Christ? Have I experienced the Savior? You see, my greatest need is to recognize how much I need a Savior. Let me say it as simply as I can. Here's what I would tell the kids in Island Kids. God's perfect, heaven's perfect, and I'm not. And I needed someone to help me to be able to cross over into this perfect place of heaven, to relate to this perfect God. And that is through the work of Jesus Christ, the bridge, the Savior of the world. God says, I'm going to help you because I don't want to be isolated from you. God's eye is not dim. His hand is not short, but it is our sin that has separated us from God. And so Jesus coming, God's saying, I'm going to help to reunite, to restore this relationship. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. See, people feel condemned, so what do? Well, if I feel condemned, then I need to fix it. I need to do something. I somehow have to, and man can't do it. God didn't send his son to condemn us, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God says, I will be your Savior. How does it happen? It's real simple. It's not through going through our growth classes. It's not through catechisms. It's the simple ABCs of salvation. No doubt you've been taught it or heard it. That I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe be in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. And see, I confess him with my mouth. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. It's as simple as ABC. The enemy loves to complicate it, and people think I've got to work, I've got to do. And Christianity is not a do religion, it's a done religion, because he's already done it. Amen? That's the miracle of a Savior. Let me say this, I'll move on. Here's the problem. Is we're still trying to save ourselves. We're still trying to save ourselves. Surely something I can do. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing you can do. We have policemen, firemen, paramedics that attend the church. Being a resort town, living on the Gulf, and recognizing that there's multiple deaths that take place and rip currents and so forth. Sometimes people get out, get beyond the rip current, but they can't get back in. When someone goes, lifeguard goes to save them, many times that person is struggling and they're doing everything they can to try to stay up. And when that person gets there, they'll push the one who tried to save them. They'll push them down to try to lift themselves up. What does that person who, that lifeguard do? They try to get that person turned in such a way to get their arms and face away from them so they can get their arm around them so they can secure them, say, you're okay, I've got you, to be able to take them back in. As long as that person is trying to save themselves, many people have drowned trying to save themselves when help was right there. And we still try to save ourselves. We need a Savior. And it's not till we say, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's that pride. I go back to that pride, what I say so often. We miss God from our head to our heart, 12 inches. Pride. I've got this. I've got religion. No, it's relationship. We don't need more knowledge. We need a Savior. I needed a Savior. Something that my daddy couldn't do for me. His money couldn't do for me. I couldn't do for myself. I couldn't talk my way out of. I needed someone to do for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I couldn't save myself. That's the miracle of the Savior. How about this? The miracle of peace. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. Peace. He wasn't speaking of national peace. Israel hasn't had a lot of national peace. And yet, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the Prince of Peace. In fact, Jesus was born in one of the darkest times in history. They were under the domination and rule of Rome. And Jesus comes on the scene, peace. You know, Jesus came to give us that salvation, to give us what? Peace. Peace. Peace with God. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I talk about it. And peace with others, and peace with ourselves. And I believe that. But I believe before we ever can have peace with others, we first of all have to have peace with God. Until you have peace with God, you can't have peace with yourself. In a way, we're schizophrenic. We can compartmentalize our life. But when God comes in, all of a sudden we have peace with God. Then we have a sense of peace with who we are. Some people never accept who they are. They live their whole life trying to do something, be something, never content. Peace brings contentment. Listen, your job doesn't bring contentment. Retirement doesn't bring you contentment. Money doesn't bring you contentment. It's only God that brings contentment. It's called peace. Are you following me here? Let me tell you what peace is. And I use peace. I sign off a lot of the texts or emails you receive from me and giving statements that you receive from me. I'll put on there peace. Pastor Fred. You know why? Because I think it's one of the most amazing miracles in all the world. Just to have peace. Do you know how many people are troubled, are anxious, are angry, are unforgiving, are mad, mean? And they take it out on everyone else. It's not dealing with everyone else. It's dealing with this right here. The miracle of peace. Peace on earth. I thank God I have peace with God. And I'm growing in peace with myself. And by his grace, then I'm able to extend out and begin to learn how to have peace with others. The biggest thing for me is not simply setting and making peace. A lot of it for me is just simply forgiving people. I know that's not a shouting point, but I think it's a living point. It's just learning to say, I release them. They're not going to rent space in my mind. They're not going to deprive me of the peace. Amen? Amen. See, the foundation is peace with God. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. How does peace come about with others if we walk in the light? See, it all, peace with others, that's not the first step. The first step is peace with God. But if we have peace with God, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we're able to have fellowship. Because I'm going to, see what happened is God's working in me first. The miracle of peace. How about this? The miracle of hope. The miracle of hope. Because it's glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. I say it from time to time. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. I grew up listening to Andre Crouch. And there was a song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And then it goes above him, no, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the hope. He's the hope of the world. Do you know how messed up society is? Do you ever wonder, when you know Christ, you look at the world and you say, oh, God. Maybe you say, oh, God, that was me. Thank you. It's not me anymore. Hello? Oh, God. Sometimes it just breaks your heart. It's, oh, God, have mercy. There's hope. It's a broken world. I saw some statistics, Cliff, this last week. And then I was at a meeting where the chiefs and the DEA and the FBI, and they all get together once a month, and I did the opening prayer this week at that meeting. And some of the conversation talked about domestic violence at Christmas time. Do you know there are over 4,500 domestic violence calls in Mobile County last Christmas season? Christmas season, 4,500, that led to 6 deaths. Do you know in Baldwin County, there were some 1,700 domestic violence calls in our county that led to 2 deaths. Not a lot of peace. A lot of strife, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain. And my prayer when I think, peace on earth. God, you're the answer. Why do we pray? Because there's a broken world. They're hurting. And Jesus is the answer. Why do we witness? Because there's a broken world that's at odds with each other. And they need to hear and know about Jesus. And he declared peace on earth. There's a hope for this world. God, help us to see it. Help us to see it to the point that it moves us to intervene. The miracle of hope. Let me close with this. What's our response? What's our response to this miracle of Christmas, the miracle of faith, the miracle of a Savior, the miracle of peace, the miracle of hope? Our response is to worship. Our response is to worship. Jesus doesn't want my money. He wants my heart. That's why he asked me to bring the tithe back. He's not short on money. You know, it's interesting. The streets of heaven will be paved with gold. I think that's symbolic of the fact that God says, gold ain't nothing compared to me. It's what you'll walk on. It's asphalt in heaven. I'm to be generous and I'm to give. That's Christmas. God so loved the world, he gave. But what can I give that he doesn't have? Well, obviously, number one, he wants your life. Have you given your life to Jesus? And number two, glory to God in the highest and on peace, on earth, peace among those who he has pleased. Luke 2 and verse 20, and the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God. What do I have? I give God my glory and praise. I glorify, I make big, and I give him my praise, and I give him my worship.